Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Well, I hope that you have a copy of the notes section. Even if you don't take notes, you can kind of see where we're going. And did you see the title? I mean, when I looked over the next section in our study of Ephesians, that's what came to my mind. Cussing, immorality, greed, and some other stuff. And so that's what we're going to consider as we continue to walk through the book of Ephesians. Now, we took a break. In case you're a guest, you've only been with us for a few weeks. We took a break from our study of Ephesians during the Easter season. Intentionally, we've been walking through the book of Ephesians for a while now. We had part one, and now we're in part two, and we may take a break in the summer and go into part three in the fall. We'll just see how things play out. Now, is there anybody in here? See, I probably won't do this in the second service. Is there anybody in here that knows about something that might be going on tomorrow that's unique for our world? Anybody? I'm thinking you do. The eclipse. Okay, well, it's all over the news in case you don't get a hardcover of the newspaper. I mean, there's a whole section from the USA Today Sunday edition of the Clarion Ledger. I mean, there's all kind of details in case you want to look at it. But don't get it till after the second service, because I want to show them too. And then there's an article in the Daily Leader, our local paper. And here's a part of it, because you may be thinking, well, how is this going to affect us in Mississippi, specifically in Brookhaven? What to expect from the eclipse? Let me just read a few sentences here. According to eclipse2024.org, did y'all know there's a website you can look at details in case you're taking notes? It's called eclipse2024, the number, the miracle of 2024.org. Mississippians will be able to see anywhere from 80% to 98% of the sun covered when the moon moves between the earth and sun Tuesday afternoon. Wait. So it's Tuesday? It's tomorrow.
That's our daily leader.
That's our daily leader. Okay. Well, anyway, there's a mistake. I think I might see. I can change that before the next service, right?
That's right.
But I won't be quoting. I'll say, and I don't want to point out an error on their part. I can just say, let's see, what can I? I'll figure it out. I could say, It has happened Tuesday. Well, this, I don't know. I got
to
think on
anything you want to in this one.
That's right. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, anyway, y'all heard it first right here, unless you've already read it. It says Tuesday right here. Anyway. All right. In Brookhaven, residents can expect to see about 89% of the sun covered. The partial eclipse is expected to begin at approximately 12:31. According to this, p.m., with the time of maximum coverage, 1:51 p.m., experts with the University of Mississippi Medical Center caution that special eclipse safety glasses or viewers must be used at all times during the partial phases. Now, there's people that fall all over the spectrum about all this, and that's fine. Here's what I would tell you. Just personally, when I read that, if I read that right, not Tuesday, but on Monday, there's going to be darkness during lunch hour. So personally, my greatest concern is, am I going to be able to see what I'm eating at that time? That's my deal. But no concerns, because I know what you're saying. You can say, you remember you got a flashlight on your phone. Remember Pastor Robert, Brother Robert did that last week. Robert did that, so I did too. So that's what I'm going to do. Besides that, I think I'm good. But y'all are thinking, well, where are we? What is going on with this? So here's what's going on in the eclipse. The sunlight doesn't shine as bright for a while. What we're going to learn in Ephesians, where we're landing in the text, is that as believers, we're to shine the light of Christ. And if we drift back in to allowing the flesh to control our life, then we provide darkness instead of the light of Christ for a watching world. Besides that, can make us miserable. So, if you hadn't already done so, let's look at it. It's in Ephesians. And it's right here in chapter 5. We left off with verse 2. We went through verses 1 and 2 the last time we were together. This particular section is about Christian living. And that's what the writer, the Apostle Paul, writing the church at Ephesus, is saying. Look, you once were in the dark. Now you've seen the light of Christ. And so follow the light, and therefore as you abide in him, light will naturally come out of you to shine the light on Christ. So he says in verse 3, but among you there must not be even any hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. But because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. In other words, God's wrath come on those that are disobedient because he disciplines those he loves. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Dear God, help us to see the truth of your word right now and how to apply it so we might be a light in a dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your listening sheet, let's look at some things that we can pull out of the text. First one is this. Some sins from our past should stay there. In other words, in our past. Let's walk through two or three. These are subpoints, not blanks in your outline, but you can write them down if you make notes or just make some mental notes. One is sexual immorality. It's listed first, not because it's the worst, but because in that day it was the most prevalent, which is significant because if you look at our world today, the same could be applied in many cases. It was prevalent because Ephesus was the center of the worship of the fertility goddess Artemis, who was known as Diana. The Greek word for immorality is where we get the word pornography. This includes all kinds of sexual sins outside of marriage. God created sex for good for marriage. He has boundaries, and when he provides boundaries, it's for our good. Hence why this text should help us today. All kinds of sexual sins would be, outside of marriage, would be adultery, fornication, homosexuality, prostitution, just as examples. Sexual sin only degrades our humanity and leaves us empty. Sure, might be fine, fun, they say, for a season, but it leaves one empty. And as a child of God, one especially knows that. Whether it's that type of sin or any other. But certainly that, because the Bible speaks of this as one that definitely has results in a negative way for our lives. Another one is greed. Greed is lust for more. Oftentimes we think of money and finances, and we should, but it could be for the lust. It could be for a job. It could be for any number of things. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth. You cannot serve both God and your grandchild. You cannot serve both God and being a hunter. You cannot serve both God and loving your style of music or instrument. You cannot serve both God, fill in the blank. In other words, God wants us to enjoy life. He has things for us to enjoy. But we're to seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So he should be first. And God helps us understand that when Jesus speaks about that. Here's another one. Shameful talk. Speaking in a way that's degrading to someone, disgraceful. Some would call it gutter talk. It can silence opportunities to make Christ known, and it hardens our witness and walk. And when we speak that way, usually the Holy Spirit convicts us. The longer we walk with him, the more it's like, you shouldn't have said that. That's a word from the past. Not that you need to work on that. And it's what the Holy Spirit does. He lets us know. We've probably all been there at some point in our life. Ephesians 4:29. Says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful in building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. So we have to keep that in mind, that God wants us to be careful what we say. And what we said in the past isn't always what we should say in the future. What this passage is saying in this first section of the text today is that believers have been born again. We do not have a pattern of these behaviors or a flippancy toward these sins anymore. They should stay in the past. When I was preparing this past week, I was reminded of my granddaddy Overstreet, my mom's dad. And he was raised in East Obuchi, Mississippi. I may have told you that before. Does anybody know where East Obuchi is? It's somewhere close to Laurel and Hattiesburg. I've only been there one time. I went on a venture several years back. I was in Mississippi. We were living in Florida, and I thought, I've always heard about East Obuchi. I'm going to go find it. So I went and found East Obuchi. And one of the reasons it always interested me was not just because my granddaddy was there and all that he used to say, but he used to say that when he was baptized, he went to the East Obuchi Baptist Church. He became a Christian. They didn't baptize in a nice baptismal. They're out in a pond. And so they were out in a pond, and he was baptized, and his buddy, who had some kind of reputation from the past, was baptized. Well, it was cold that day. And so when his buddy came up, he used some vulgarity in describing how cold the water was. And my granny would just laugh about that. I heard that story. If I heard it once, I heard it a thousand times. He's always loved to hear it. And he liked to do it in front of my daddy because he knew my preacher daddy. It made him a little nervous, especially when he'd tell it in front of me as a child. So that's what I thought about. Now here's what I'd say. Do I think that man was lost? No, I don't believe that. He was a brand new Christian. He was just born again. And so he was doing something from his past that was just a part of his life. And he'd not grown or matured enough yet to be more careful. And yet I think anybody might be tempted, if you're baptized in ice water, to maybe say something we shouldn't say. So that's not what we're saying here. What we're saying here is that I don't think that automatically meant he wasn't born again. I think it meant he was immature in his faith. And he didn't realize from the norm that wasn't him anymore, and he needed to grow in his faith. Here's what Chuck Swindoll says about this. The key is whether we deliberately persist in a lifestyle that resists the Lord, or whether the general tenor of our lives reflects a godly direction. Oh, I like that. I think that summarizes it. Now, before we move on to point number two from the text, here's what Billy Graham says. The more we do it, meaning involved in sins of the flesh, the easier it is to practice lust, greed, hate, lying, stealing, whatever it might be. Pride, jealousy, anger, these things beset all of us. And the more we yield to the pressure, the more easily we will yield the next time. See, it's a reminder for us as Christians that in the world in which we live in, we need to be very careful. We keep our eyes on Jesus, that we know that this is total truth, not what's in the newspaper. We learned that, didn't we? Or on social media or whatever, that we might be exposed to what people say. We need to stay close to Jesus. We need to know his word so we don't allow the things of the world to gradually slip into our lifestyle or our churches or our homes that may not be of God, that at some point we would have never allowed. But at this point, we do. Now, here's what I'd say. Y'all, there's a difference between preference and convictions. Okay? So we have to be careful as that as Baptists. For example, this is a great way to do this. Look how I'm dressed. Oh, me. I am dressed. My mama would not be happy right now. And my dad, I can see him now. He'd just look at him. He had a look. So back in the day, where I grew up, you do not do this. You do not dress like this. I don't care if you're not in there. You don't do it. How? What are you thinking? Well, now that's a preference. Now I get it. For some, you say, well, you're in the Lord's house. Whatever. Here's what I tell you. We need to take a strong stand on our convictions, not our preferences. Let's don't get them confused. Let's make sure we don't get them confused. That's where we plant. We don't die. We don't pick a hill to die on over a preference from something we think is right. Maybe just because a godly mom or dad had a certain way about them. We need to know what the truth says. Now, there's a second thing we see from our text. It's this. Some suggestion for our future that will shine everywhere. Now, if there's some struggle from the sins that were listed, know that God is gracious and he forgives. And if you're not a believer, you need to know that if the Lord is convicting you of sin, put your faith and trust in him. Don't think, I got to clean up before I come in. No, admit your sin and put your faith in him. And he is the one that cleans us up over time and helps to see what is wrong and what is right. He may be using this passage today to make a course correction through repentance and seeking help. Christian counseling is distancing yourself from someone that provides an unhealthy relationship. Remember, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. So if the Lord is speaking to you in that regard, let him. When a person is born again, it brings new life. It brings new light into their lives. I heard a story, read a story, and you perhaps have heard this one before, about a guy who was lost as could be. Maybe it was like my granddaddy's buddy. I mean, he didn't speak right. His actions were crude. He was mean to other people. He was a drunkard. He didn't just drink. He drank to get drunk. The Bible's clear about being drunk, and it is wrong. And so he was just a wretched man. He used to hang out with a rough crowd, and he was usually the leader of that crowd. It affected his marriage. It surely affected his finances. I mean, it was rough. But then he was born again, and he came into the light. And the Lord gradually started changing his heart and his friends. And he began to not spend as much time with those that he'd spent time with. Still loved them, but not all of them were fond of this new person. They felt like they didn't know anymore. And so one day, one of those in particular gave him a hard time about the fact that he didn't drink anymore to get drunk. And so he used that passage that so often is used. His old buddy tried to trick him. And he talked about Jesus. He said, didn't Jesus turn water into wine? And the fact that he'd only been a believer for short time, this was his answer, because he'd never heard that. This is what he said. His buddy, his name is Fred. He said, "Fred, I don't know anything about that passage. I don't know about that. I can't say if Christ turned water into wine at that house, but I know that he's changed beer into furniture in my house." He'd gone from darkness to light, and it had changed his life, and God was still working on him. The latter part of our passage talks about the value of light. Jesus himself says, "I am the light of the world." And as we abide in him, automatically we should share more light and reflect more light, the light of Christ. I mentioned this, alluded to this at the Haven Cross. First of all, last week, we held a flashlight in the dark to see words. Why? Because the light dispels when there's my, and I followed Robert's lead. So, and he shined it on wheels. It was still dark out there. And so why did he pull that out? Because it dispels darkness. He was able to see. And so I did the same. And that's the thing about light we need to remember, is that if we live the light of Christ, it can dispel darkness by God's grace. Here's the second thing. Lights attract attention. Once those bright lights go up out there at that cross, there'll be a lot more attention. From what I understand, they're going to be bright. And if I hear everything right and understand everything right, people will clearly at night be able to see, man, is there a ball game going over there? What is going on? Have y'all ever done that? I've been in different places. You see these bright lights. Usually you think, man, there must be a ball game going on. I wonder who's playing. Well, ain't no ball game. But it's the cross that reflects the cross of Christ. And we don't know on this side of heaven, we'll never know how God might use it. And so that's the other thing. Bright lights give more attention to the Christ that we love and we serve. We're to walk as children of light. Let's be clear what it means to expose in verse 11. That doesn't mean we parade other sinners in front of some moral code in dealing with lost people. This is talking up to believers here, the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. Lost people act lost. No, light doesn't attack. It simply reveals what's there by way of contrast. An example is when one honest person who believes in Christ has high integrity and does not, and others do not whatsoever, then dishonesty, if they're an honest person, is exposed. Max Lucado said, "Live in such a way that the world will be glad we did." In other words, this particular text is not about church discipline. This is about church representing Jesus in the workplace, at school, with our family, wherever we might be. That's what it's talking about. And when we do, it draws people's attention, not people's attention. The attention of people to Christ, not us. That's not what he's saying there. It needs to be to Christ. And that last verse, verse 14, most scholars believe that was an older hymn. "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now, back to the eclipse. I have some glasses here. Now, to me, they're pretty cool looking. I got them in Florida when I lived there at the Walgreens. We're talking high dollar glasses here. Not really. Now, if I were to say, because most of you probably aware there are certain types of glasses you're supposed to wear tomorrow. Not Tuesday. Tomorrow. 12:51, I think. That's what it said. Is that right? 12:31. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to mess my lunch up. You would say, well, those might be cool, but that's not going to work for me. Because it could damage your eyesight and affect you the rest of your life. You want to get expert advice so you won't be in the dark, live in the dark, ruin your sight for the rest of your life. Here's what we've learned today. God has shown us in His Word. He's the expert. I'm not. You're not. Favorite radio show, whatever. They're not. I'm sure they're good. But God has all truth. And He's shown us today how to live in the light. We need to listen to the expert so we won't mess up our witness and go back into the dark. That's our past. We're going forward into the light. Dear God, we thank You for today. Thank You for showing us through Your Word what is truth, how to move forward in our life. God, so often as believers, we struggle with certain things, proclivity to certain sins or strongholds. And God, there is certainly a place for counseling, for scripture memory, all those fellowshipping and sharing with one another, to pray for one another. All those things are so important. But God, have us never to forget that one of the most important things we can do is abide in You. Worship You, spend time with You, pray, cry, laugh with You, read Your Word. Just grow in our personal devotional life on a regular basis, God, so we won't worry, we won't drift back into the ways of the past, and we might love the light and shine the light in a world that certainly needs to see You. In Jesus' name, amen. Just stand. We're going to have an invitation. Guess who's going to be here at the front? I am. And if you need me to pray for you, or you'd like to ask a question about our particular church or fellowship or whatever, I certainly will do my best to answer any questions. And Robert's going to lead us in our song. Okay?